You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Sivex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. The leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy episode 45, aka the first episode of 2012. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy New Year, John.
Happy New Year, my friend. I have a lot of catching up to do, not just with you, but with the proletariat.
Yeah, we left them hanging in 2011, man.
We did. It was very busy holiday season for both of us, and then I got some sort of West Nile virus or common cold, one that stuck around for about two and a half weeks, just now feeling like it's not there anymore.
Not contagious, I hope.
Right, feeling that it's on its last legs out the door. So
a parasite.
Yes, so that is positive, and I am glad to be moving on. So we apologize to you, the proletariat, for our absence there at the end of 2011, but we are coming back with a vengeance here in 2012.
We're striking back, if you will. That's we are going to put you in carbonite and ship you across a galaxy of joy and nerddom.
Yes, we were not on strike. No. But we are striking back.
We're just disorganized,
as it were. Well, tell me about your holidays. Tell me about the Christmas, the Kwanzaa, the Hanukkah, the Festivus for the rest of us. These type of things.
Well, you know, in my household, we celebrate the lighting of the witch every cold season. It's the way our forebears used to stay.
Is that the winter solstice or?
No. Yes, the winter solstice, as commonly referred to by the pagan community. You just go out at random and you find a couple of homeless people that are down their luck, and you take them into your home.
Are there any other kind? Is there a homeless person that's really
that's
up
on
their
swing?
Luck? That's
you'd be
that's
surprised.
On a roll.
No, I'm good. Thanks, I got it.
This housing, love of another human being, food and shelter. No, I'm cool. Things have been working out here lately.
Don't crimp my style. This rat is delicious. You bake a meal for them. You have them in some corn cob, corn on the cob.
Some corn on the cob. Hey, homeless man, I know you haven't eaten in 3 weeks, but how about some Big Booty Hose Volume 3? Really the best of the series, in my opinion. The cinematography on the first two was a little to be desired.
And here's some Girls Gone Wild commercials for you, too. We're not going to let you watch the full thing. No, you don't want to blow them out.
Unless they're homeless people on Bourbon Street, and then Girls Gone Wild would be like...
Oh, yeah. That'd be like recreating their environment, almost.
Sure.
Like a habitat. Yeah. No, you don't want to feed them too well too soon, because it's like you take a thirsty person that's been in the desert and you just don't want to give them a bottle of Gatorade because their gut will blow up. It's not used to having that much fluid. So we'll just give them a corn cob to eat like a horse, and we keep them in our attic for a couple of nights, and then we burn them on
give them a corn cob like a horse?
Yeah. Okay. As you would a horse, not a corn cob that is shaped like a horse.
Do different animals in the animal kingdom eat corn differently? Horses famous for their way of devouring the maize?
They'll take it like a jawbreaker and they'll just kind of turn it around on the side of their mouth.
And that's also how homeless people eat their corn?
If you find the ones that know what they're doing.
Okay.
I mean, we're looking for professionals.
Okay. I didn't know corn was such a staple of the homeless diet.
It's not. It's just cheap.
Okay.
Yeah. And usually not too
It's really
dirty.
Not too cheap, actually.
The cob? You can buy them in bulk from Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, I used our click-through link. I mean, you can get like 80 used corn cobs for like $5.
Okay.
Yeah. The shipping's really good.
Because they are homeless people. You don't want to give them a new corn cob.
No, as I was saying before, too many nutrients.
Do you have them make pipes out of the corn cobs after they're done with them? Is that like a condition of
the
meal?
They found odd gambling games to make out of them. They usually make dice, rudimentary dice, out of the corn cobs. And we usually make pipes out of their bones because it keeps longer.
Were you aware that lice racing was a popular sport during the Civil War between the troops?
No. Did you learn this in one of your documentaries you consume?
In one of my Civil War books. Ah. But in many, not just in prison camps, but popular in prison camps like Andersonville, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to do. So,
how do you organize lice? It's like a flea circus.
I'm sure you get like a 2x4 and you put two lice on the end of it, and everybody stands around it yelling and screaming, and you probably put some sort of, you know,
succulent lice.
Yes, object. Whatever. I mean, you're very familiar with the homeless diet, but I guess back then they would be have been familiar with the lice diet.
Right. And maybe they just put a plank of wood up to somebody's head at the end of it, and the lice the other end.
Yeah, they put the, you know, whatever person was on their last leg.
Right.
No pun intended.
Because the other one got blown off by a cannonball.
You just prop them up at the end of the board and then lice race to be the first to inhabit him post-mortem.
It can't be good for the board guy. I mean, if he knows he's viewed by everybody else as the board guy.
Come here, Sam.
Hey, Beauregard, come here for a minute. Oh, fuck.
Come sit by this board over here.
I'm the lice goal. It's over. but to be serious, the holidays. Good times. There's been worse ones. It was the first holiday without my brother's wife, who he has recently separated from. And, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, she was a less desirable addition to our family. So I'm not sad to see her go. Stressful having her there. Sure. And this one was without stress, and my family ordered out food, very traditional, let somebody else cook it, you know, which was no stress for us because me and my wife, because we cook, we had taken to cooking every year. And on top of that, and like presents, and then going to my parents' house, because once you reach a certain age, you can just command for people to come to you.
Yes, especially if you have children.
Yeah.
You know, you can – it's hard to play that card like me because I'm young and single. And
yeah, it's like, what else are you doing?
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, I might be not wanting to go and not knowing how to put it in any other way.
So it's harder to play that everybody come to my house card. But then again, I don't want my family coming to my house.
Yeah, because it's easier for you to leave someplace than to get the idea across that
it's
time
true.
For people to get
That's
you.
True.
And right before Christmas, a good friend of mine from high school got married, still very angry that he decided to get married towards the end of December. Actually, it was right after Christmas, December 30th.
Okay.
You know, 5 days after you just blow your ass out buying presents for people, then you got to blow your ass out again buying a wedding gift.
Yes.
And then that's just setting it up for every year. So, I wish I could say I wish him the best of luck. I do, minus that part. If they could like get separated then remarried in the summer, that might be better for everybody. But it was a good time. Good to see people that I hadn't seen since, you know, a couple of years that I saw every day in high school. People get scattered to the winds. It's interesting how you can fall back into a certain rapport with people. Doesn't happen too often because I'm a misanthrope. And then there are those people that you knew their faces, but you didn't really like hang out too much with.
Right.
And you try to strike up a conversation with them, and then it's awkward because there's just not that, I don't know, that back and forth that just you easily fall into. And I found that, what was the number one thing that people seem to be employed in? Not advising, but consulting. Oh, I'm in consulting. Oh, what do you do? Well, I do computer consulting. I'm in consulting. What do you do? Oh, financial consulting. What do you do? Oh, I do
And
consulting.
Where was this?
The wedding was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, the wonderful, beautiful place in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It's like a banquet hall, very stripped of religious overtones with the exception of the minister that they had there, a Baptist, I don't know what they call those people, minister, preacher,
Baptists.
Baptist, them folk. He intonated Jesus Christ like 300% more than was needed. He was talking about the cleaving of a man unto a woman and how they transform by merging themselves, enveloping into one new being. And like, I thought I was watching a John Carpenter film or something. It just sounded horrifying. And he was talking about, I don't know, it sounded like Jesus Christ was God's personal lawyer that came to Earth to like give everybody marriage. Like it just didn't exist, you know, before JC came down and did his Vegas tour or whatever. And it was hard not to just laugh, so I felt bad for my friend in that regard. But he seemed kind of over. He didn't seem like dazed or like he was uncomfortable. He just seemed like he wanted to flash forward to the honeymoon.
I think that's pretty much how all husbands are on their wedding day.
Yeah, well, I mean, some get the cold feet and get reluctant, and they have that like thousand-yard stare in their eye, and they're nervous. He didn't strike me as so much as nervous as just resigned to the whole thing, which I think is good. But it was a good time overall. Good food, good times. The kid, our kid, said that this Christmas was the best Christmas ever. Direct quote.
Wow.
Very nice.
Now, did you spend more money this year than you ever had previously? I mean, is there a direct correlation between this being the best Christmas ever and the fact that you spent the most money on her?
I don't know. It was about $150 to spit on her, so it wasn't like a terrible.
See, that's respectable because that's about what my parents spent on me growing up, between $75 and $150, depending.
Right.
But like, I always grew up with these kids, like knowing these kids or friends or whatever, and their parents would literally spend hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars.
Just turn on the money gun.
And I'm just like, really? Like, it shocks me, you know? Like, I was talking to someone this year. I will not say their name, but, you know, they were just buying and buying and buying, single parent. And I was like, how much have you spent? And they were like, oh, I've only spent, you know, 600 or something like that, you know? And I'm just like, only?
That's 3/4 of their love. I'm almost there.
I'm like, what standard?
Like, when will you stop?
Right. What's the dollar amount where you say, okay, they have enough to celebrate a religious holiday?
Wait, which one?
I don't know.
No, I can totally see that. I had some of that. You know, if I was a single parent, I can even imagine it's more stressful. You know, you want to make it magical and stuff like that. And if you live in this country, the way to do that is to spend a lot of money and buy things. I thought of diversifying and buying things that she would like and, you know, having several things to get to.
Yeah, see, you know, that's one of the things obviously my mom did all the shopping when we were kids. Mm-hmm. But like, she was the master of lots of little presents. Like, she would give us the crayons and wrap those, and the coloring book and wrap those, and the paper and wrap that. And, you know, it wouldn't be like, okay, here's one box of arts and crafts crap.
Right.
It would be, you know, $10 in arts and crafts supplies. But she'd wrap each present individually, and it would be 10 presents.
That's good thinking, because by the time you're done unwrapping it, you're probably worn out.
So it's, you know, my brother and I would each have opened like 20 gifts that day.
Right.
But at a total cost of $300 to my parents, it's not like it was, you know.
Well, another benefit to many things is that children have relatively short attention spans.
Right.
So they'll power through something. It's like when you would get a new CD, you would like, oh, this is great. I love this. Oh, this is great. You'd play it for like 2 weeks nonstop.
Right.
And then you might like take one song that you like from the album, listen to that over until it's dead. And you're like, it just doesn't do it for me anymore.
Yes.
And then you move on to something else. But then you come back to it and you're like, hey, man, track number 13 is all right. Hey,
32.
It's like that. Like sometime in March or April, we'll be able to drag something out from under the couch and she'll be like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, gosh, you really did love me.
There you go. Well, I cooked on Christmas. It turned out very well. So,
what did you cook?
Oh, man, I don't even remember. There was so much food. Baked macaroni and cheese, butter beans over rice.
Meat? Did you do like a ham or a turkey thing?
There was a honey-baked ham. Mm,
honey.
There was homemade mashed potatoes, homemade creamed corn, deviled eggs.
Wait, you made all this shit?
Yeah.
And you, like, brought it unto your parents?
No, I made it at my parents' house.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, the desserts and that and the deviled eggs I made the night before.
All right.
So, the night before, I made pumpkin pie, pecan pie, and the deviled eggs, and then Christmas Day was...
Doesn't it feel nice, like, cooking for your folks, being like, hey, I'm a big boy, look at what I'm doing.
Yeah, but...
But at the same time, it's incredibly stressful.
Yeah, it was incredibly stressful, but I will say that the most rewarding part was knowing that it would be a big meal that I could actually, I would actually like all of it, you know, because traditionally there's those holiday dinners, and if you're not in charge, half of it is stuff you don't eat in the first place. Mm-hmm. The other half of it, 25% of that 50% will not taste good. So you end up having this huge table full of food and you actually only like 25% of it.
Yeah. And so chances are you're not taking home much.
Right. You end up saying, I liked it about 25%'s worth. But with me being in charge of it, I could say I like this 100% worth because A, I know it's all going to be stuff I eat. Mm-hmm. B, I know it's all going to be cooked to my liking and seasoned to my liking and it's going to taste good. So...
Okay, so your holiday cooking was more of a statement, more of a force of like, this is the shit I want. That's right, Doritos are for Christmas.
It was more of a selfish, I'm going to eat a lot and enjoy it.
It's a good way to ensure that you enjoy it. You enjoy yourself, and at the same time, you are doing something for the family. Hopefully you didn't tell them, I'm cooking because... I don't want to eat the shit that you people provide.
Sure.
Hopefully it was like, oh, let me help you out under the guise of that.
Yes. Yeah. I was not a dick about it by any means, but, you know, we'll... I can't read what you're...
like holding up sign language.
Yeah,
to tell
52
him
minutes.
We're 17 minutes in.
Okay.
18.
Okay. Good deal. But so tell me about the how the job is going. How is that?
It's going all right. I'm, you know, new position, the cubicle, moved in there. I've gotten to know the programmer fairly well.
Okay.
Big gamer. Hey, Eric.
And programmer.
Yeah.
Now, what is there? What does he program, being that it is a transportation company?
Good question. He programs the website.
Okay.
It's a WordPress website, but he has, like, gone in under the surface and completely reworked it.
Right.
So it's like if somebody gives you, you know, a workable skeleton, he's gone in there and kind of rewired the muscles that are there to
right.
make it fit our needs.
Sure.
But beyond
now,
is
is his full-time gig programmer for the WordPress website?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, no, for the company. I mean... He does a myriad of things. He does the WordPress tweaking. He does the in-house computer system that has, excuse me, the files for all the company.
Okay,
and that's separate from the WordPress site. The WordPress sites are public face, but the internal company that you have to be on our network
sure.
to access is like very. Plain browser driven stuff like that, but he pretty much made that from scratch.
Okay.
So in that he's indispensable. They can't fire him
yes.
because he didn't exactly write a book saying,
yes.
oh, this function does this and then this is where this repository
yes.
is, and blah blah blah.
It's if like, okay, fire me.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly.
I'm taking the system with me.
And gotta commend him. He doesn't have much of an attitude about it, but
delete.
He's also very comfortable. Oh, really? What's that, boss? Where's that button? Control Alt what? Yeah, so God forbid he gets you know, hit by a semi on the way into work, which would be ironic.
Because they'll be looking at you like, okay, nerd.
Yeah.
You're next in line.
You're white and pale. Fix it.
Right.
Huh? Make pictures, me. So, I mean, they would have to get somebody to come in and decipher what he's built, and they would probably lose about a good 6 weeks of productivity unless they wanted to play through the butthole. And,
sure.
And they're doing what I have kind of come to see in this company of not paying people a terrible amount of money.
Sure.
They pay people what they'll come to work for.
Yes.
Terrible job market helps keep that okay.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's kind of indentured servitude.
Yes.
Not to say that I don't want to be working there because
yes.
I do enjoy the things I do.
Sure.
But at the same time, I believe in, you know, due compensation for
yes.
what people bring to your company. I'm going to make a case for that for myself when the time comes. I'm giving myself the six-month mark so I can
sure.
be like, here, I've done boom, 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 boom.
Absolutely.
Give me twice as much.
Because nobody – there's nobody a company hates more than the asshole that, like, works there for 3 weeks and is like, so –
so where's my office?
How's that raise gonna happen? That
yeah,
gonna happen?
What's the president
soon?
Do around here? I don't really see that guy working.
It's like, yeah, okay, dude.
So anyhow, we've been going back and forth because this is nice, a good relationship because I was able to literally design in Photoshop what I wanted the website, our new company website, to look like, and I showed it to our programmer, and he was like, yeah, okay, I know how I can make that happen.
Right.
And if I don't, I can figure it out. And so we're in the midst of like rebuilding the website to where it's going to be slick. It's going to be iPad and smartphone friendly where you can swipe through it and stuff like that.
Very cool.
Going to be really clean and corporate and professional. So that's exciting. You know, I'm able to like get little projects like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have like a Sony 37-inch widescreen TV as my secondary monitor, which is pretty dope.
That is pretty dope.
Yeah, it is. I could do without people walking behind me all day long because I face a cubicle.
Yeah, I never.
I mean, I'm not doing anything, but it's just that feeling.
I've never really
know.
Worked in that environment, but I've never liked. I get it from my dad because my dad, his FBI thing, he always wants to be in the corner with his back to the wall
right.
in case some shit goes down.
During the mess hall so he doesn't get
yes,
jumped. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like if, you know, you were in a frat or something, and they would be like, hey,
yeah.
what's up?
Yeah.
And you just kind of get this tense feeling every time
right.
you send somebody behind you, even though they're not going to stab a knife in your back. It doesn't stop me from thinking that.
Sure.
So it's going all right. They recently kind of fired one of the other young guys there, which was the internet marketing manager, who I thought was, you know, we see very eye to eye because we're under 40 years old.
Yes.
You know, the programmer sees everything I see. He's just been there a long time and lost his will to live as far as like for the company goes.
Okay.
But they brought this guy in and he moved like his family from like Nevada and stuff. And, you know, I guess they were paying him a decent salary for his skills, got an MFA, he's a CPA and all this other stuff. And he knows like marketing strategies. Problem is they brought him in. And they didn't let him implement any of his marketing strategies.
Okay.
And then they were like, well, what are we paying you for? Well, I was going to do these marketing strategies, but a marketing strategy isn't like doing something in Photoshop. At the end of the day, he can't be like, here's something that I did today
yes.
that proves that I'm worth my salt.
Right.
I can, you know, bang out a brochure and be like, here, that's the one redeeming quality that I have found to what I do.
Right.
One of the few ones. And so I feel bad because they're like cutting their foot off in that regard. Like he was going to help kind of mature them to the next level of like getting into internet sales and like growing into being a bigger business from what they are.
Right.
But this one president guy kind of get the idea he didn't want him there. And the president guy is like right on the CEO. And the CEO was just kind of like, okay, president guy, whatever you want. And the president guy called me and the programmer in his office and just with this rigor – this rigor mortis of a smile in these cold, dead eyes
right.
said like, oh, well, Alan's not working here anymore. I'm not using his real name, which is Brent. Oh, fuck. And I was like, what? Like, did he leave?
Yeah.
It's kind of a mutual thing.
Okay.
Kind of did like the closed lip.
Yeah,
not quite smile,
I'm
but like
very familiar.
A little like rigor mortis setting in at the corners of the mouth. not just like, fuck, you know, you get rid of like one of the most interesting people here as far as like new ideas go.
Right.
And you, in your weird old man way, seem very pleased about that. Do you really realize, or do you really not realize the value of like...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem is when the old marketing guy was like, hey, you know, we need to do Twitter, we need to do Facebook, you know, blah, blah. I mean, these are just buzzwords to old people.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, you want to play on the computer all day.
Yeah, it's not like... Well. No, see, we need to clue in to that next generation of truckers. So in 10 years... We're not 10 years behind. We're 10 years ahead. So, but, you know, it's hard to explain that to somebody who's been in the business for 40 years and says, hey, I've been in the trucking business for 40 years. Don't you come in here telling me how to run a trucking company. You
yeah.
know, that's,
yeah.
that's the problem. And it's like that in real estate too. You know, I mean, you have,
yeah,
I deal with older clients all the time that are like, when are you going to do an open house? Mm-hmm. And I say, never, because it's a waste of your time. And they say, what do you mean? It's a open houses are what sell real estate. And I'm like, not in today's world. Like, open houses were for 30 years ago when there was no internet. And you were like, hey,
yeah.
I like downtown Ocean Springs. So what you did is you got in your car with your wife on Saturday and you drove around downtown Ocean Springs. And if you saw an open house sign, mm-hmm. you pulled over and went inside and looked at the house. Nowadays, you say, I want to be in downtown Ocean Springs. So on Tuesday night, you spend 30 minutes on the internet, you have 10 yeah. houses, and you call those agents or you have your agent call those agents and say, hey, I want to look in these houses. And then you get your own private open house.
Yeah.
That's how real estate works now. But the people that are, you know, my clients that are 60 plus years mm-hmm. old that have bought and sold 12 different houses in their life and have always done an open house, when you say open houses don't work, they look at you like you're a dumbass.
Well, you
even,
just don't know.
Even though the last house they bought or sold was in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, yeah, it's a different world than it was in 1988. But anyway.
No, I was thinking about that in not necessarily real estate, but just thinking like, oh my God, like almost every industry must suffer from this technological bell curve
mm-hmm.
Of people where people at the top yeah. that are probably older in certain industries
yeah.
just got to die off. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're pleasant human beings and yeah. stuff like that.
Well, I mean, that's how I feel about racism, just in societal terms, is like,
that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, as the older generations die, there's less of that. I mean, there'll always be racism because older generations breed younger generations.
Yeah, that's going to stay
and
longer.
Old rednecks make young rednecks.
Mm-hmm.
But as time passes, there's more people that escape the clauses, mm-hmm. the claws of bigotry.
Right.
Then there are that, you know, if both your parents are hippies and love everybody and, you know, peaceniks, then you're probably not going to be 18 and say, you know what, I'm going to be a bigoted asshole racist now. Probably not going to happen.
Mm.
But there is a chance that you're raised by two bigots and then you get to be 18 and you say, hey, Jews and blacks aren't that bad. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that will become less and less of a thing. I think it'll take about 20 years to wash out upper management until you can be assured that everybody that is in upper management knows email, knows the value of the interwebs, and you know the whole paradigm of how you do business has matured to the people that are in control. Racism, I think, is going to take longer to, you know, turn over before
right.
people are, you know, stop being fucking tards. About that.
Well, look, let's take a break
mm-hmm.
and then we'll come back and we'll talk some New Year's resolutions and some New Year's predictions for 2012.
Sounds good. Let's be back in a few and hear what those are about.
One, two, three, four. Somebody left the gate open.
Okay, folks, welcome back to this, our second act.
That's it. Halftime music was Into the Wild by LP. That's her initials, but that's the name she goes by is LP. That was featured in a Citibank commercial recently, but I really dug the song, so I figured we'd use it for our halftime music.
Thank you, Citibank, and thank you, your disease, for laying you up on the couch long enough to
That's it.
Enjoy
Both
them.
Songs tonight, our halftime song and our wrapping it up song, are both used in commercials. So that was Into the Wild by LP from Citibank commercial, the only thing positive Citibank has ever done.
Yes. Thank God for that.
So
some redeeming quality.
So tell me your New Year's resolutions, if you have any.
Don't. I thought about it a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I never really do them anyway. So you got nothing from me. Did you actually bother to come up with some?
Not really. I mean, I never...
I know myself.
I set
well.
Goals each year, but they're not resolutions. Like, I'm not going to be like, okay, this is... Today, I will not do this anymore.
Right.
I say, okay, in 2012, I want to X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
So...
That might be more realistic than, like, I'm going to change who I am as a human.
That's true. But, you know, they're all... You know, things that I've been trying to work on for a while, so I don't know how successful setting them as goals and not doing them resolution style have been, i.e. Lose a little bit of weight, quit smoking, those sorts of things. All of mine are tied together. It's really weird. Like, you know, the... losing of the hair and the...
You're going to lose some hair?
I'm trying to prevent losing any more hair.
Right.
But, you know, the weight loss and the quitting smoking and those things are all very closely tied.
Okay.
Because
So you're holding those. I mean, those are resolution-y.
Well, they're resolution-y, but like I say, I haven't done any legitimate steps towards attaining those goals.
Okay. So overall, like a kind of a comprehensive health
overhaul
and better
yes.
your castle that you inhabit in this incarnation.
That is very true.
Okay.
Because I would also like to take some new headshots relatively soon and would prefer be in better condition aesthetically in order to do so. But anyway, so that's that. What about New Year's predictions? Do you have anything? I know 2012, big year for the end of the world prophecies.
I'm looking forward to that.
But do you have any other predictions? i.e. who will win the Republican nomination or who will be assassinated or...
Both Gingrich.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Two birds, one stone.
Okay.
I look at those people and... you know, my heart of hearts wishes Ron Paul.
Right.
Because I would love a President Gandalf-looking
sure.
guy. And he's the one that makes sense. And, of course, because of that, he's ineligible. And also his age, you know. I don't think the American public will vote for somebody so old because we're not that great of a country in being able to objectively look at something. We're too swayed by who says, you know, babies start at the moment of squirting your sperm into somebody.
Right.
And all these other intangibles and not really looking at the facts of, like, who's going to be a good leader for this country and not just jerking my balls.
Yeah, you know, ironically, I think Ron Paul is the most cutting edge of all those – people
right. Well,
on
because
the stage.
He's so direct and just like, well, you know.
But I mean, he also is, hey, we have this technology. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, science has come a long way. Let's acknowledge it. You know, those sort of things. Hey, let's not bomb people just because we don't like who they voted their president.
Because we can't. Yeah. And that's unpopular among the more ignorant of the great people of America, which I love very much.
I do think what is very liable to happen, this is going to be a back pocket prediction for me, is that Ron Paul takes it all the way as far as he can in the Republican, then runs as an independent. I think he's just doing, he knows he's not going to get the Republican nomination because he makes too much sense for Republicans to vote for him. So what I think he's going to do is just ride this horse as far as he can, and then he's going to jump on the independent horse and ride that as a third party. And since so many liberals are disappointed in what Obama's done and or not done in his 4 years, I think the third party candidate, i.e. Ron Paul, is going to get a hell of a lot more votes than the Democratic Party is thinking. And I think it's highly likely that, you know, Democrats and independents split their votes between Ron Paul and Obama, and then the Republicans, whatever fucking Nimrod they trot out, might do well, because, you know, it has been about 50% voting Republican, 49% voting Democrat, and 1% voting third party. But I think that could be closer to 8 or 9% this year voting third party. And
yeah, but traditionally they take away from the Democrat vote.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to have a Nader effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And thus ensure a Republican win.
Or a Ross Perot effect. You know.
Right. Right. That kind of scares me because he's very attractive. I would like to vote for him. I'd like to take him to dinner. Yes. I think he would be really interesting, and I'm sure he could get my sense of humor too, which would be rare. And Obama, it's tough because, like, oh, he hasn't, you know, changed the face of the universe. But, you know, homeboy inherited a house that was on fire falling apart. I mean, every president does. You know, they get the bullshit messes that the previous administration.
Yeah, you know, my problem with Obama has been the fact that he's not been – had big enough balls. You know what I mean?
Well, and the Republicans have shut down – sure. Know, as much as they possibly
sure, but he's dealt with it with a smile. Like, you know, he's been anally pillaged and been like, okay, I guess that's just the way the game is played.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been like, hey, okay, you're going to stalwart me on this. That's the fucking,
I'm going to burn you.
That's the Democratic, you know, system. But you know what? Fuck you for doing it. You're not doing shit for America. You know, he hasn't called him out on any of it.
That's a good point. No, he hasn't. So I'm scared about it. I don't want a president, any Republican candidate right now. They're all terrifying in their own horrifying ways.
Well, speaking of politics, do you want to give us an update or a breakdown of SOPA?
Oh, yeah. Many people, you know, out there, I mean, I briefly mentioned it a couple of months ago, oh, this is something scary that's coming down the pipes. It was surprising to me to see this kind of response against it, and mainly because, like, Wikipedia went black, you know, Google stepped up and, you know, drew notice to it, WordPress, Craigslist, a myriad of other sites really were predominant, like, this, you don't, no, we can't just start breaking the internet because some companies want to protect their interests. That's not the answer to something, you know. And luckily, 7 million people agreed online by signing petitions, and then another several hundred thousand writing, you know, their congressmen and stuff. I did my little email thing. I put it up. I don't like getting into political stuff too often, but
sure.
This is important. You know, it's like, oh, this interstate leads to a bad alley somewhere, so we're going to bomb this interstate. Is pretty much what they were wanting with SOPA and PIPA. And it sounds like two names of some Yorkshire Terriers that live in New England. SOPA, PIPA, come inside. There's a Northeast on the way.
Yeah. Or like the Upper West Side, you know, something like that. SOPA. Yeah, I found it ironic. I'm sure you've read about this at this point, but one of the authors of the bill, Lamar Smith, is congressman, and he from Texas, of course, Republican, of course. And they, on the front page of his website, he's using a stolen image as his background.
No, I hadn't heard.
Yes. They tracked down the photographer whose image it was. It's like a, you know, sun coming through the clouds type shot. And the photographer is named DJ Schult, and they tracked him down, and he said, yeah, I never gave him permission to use my picture as his background, and he has paid no royalties or anything like that. So I'm sure it's just the webmaster was like, okay, let's find some pretty picture to use as a background, and went to Google Images and typed in pretty sky picture. And
inspirational sunset.
Yes.
Yes. And I do that all the goddamned time.
Sure, but it's just ironic that the author of the legislation who's trying to ram it up people's asses because of big corporate money is on the front page, no less, of his website is well, in violation.
More ironic is if they just took his website down because he was in violation of copyright law.
Sure.
But yeah, to sum it up, pretty much Warner Brothers, Paramount, all the media producing conglomerate companies don't like you being able to go to the Pirate Bay and download content or get a torrent to be able to download content. So they wanted to take the Pirate Bay out of search results from Google and Yahoo and Bing.
Right.
And find those companies if they would list them. But the fucked up thing was if you knew the IP address, you know, like 255.19.blah.blah.blah, you could still get to the Pirate Bay. Just the same as typing it in the browser. Because sure. The name is just attached, is just a synonym right. For that number anyway.
Sure.
You know? So it really wouldn't have stopped anything. It just, from anybody that knows what they're doing enough to pirate something. You know,
sure.
Your mom and dad, they're not like staying up all night like torrenting Game of Thrones season one.
Right.
That's not happening.
Sure.
And the
at
movie,
least I don't think that's happening.
Son, winter's coming, right? Wink, wink. Dad, you're so much more awesome.
You're so in tune.
And the movie and television industry is where the music industry was, what, 9 years ago? Something like that, when Napster was coming down. And before iTunes really said... Steve Jobs went to the music companies. Was like, hey, you guys are worried about losing revenue. Why don't you break songs up, make them affordable and attractive to people? And that, oh, no, we can't do that because dusty old management people, we've never done that. We've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
Ergo, it's not good.
Sure.
And I've had this tie on for 20 years to prove that I'm right, you know? Anyway, they started seeing the light, and now they make millions of dollars every year from iTunes and Amazon. Everybody else that's picked up the flag of distributing music that way. And we're just going to go through the growing pains of television companies doing that to where you will be able to buy. You can already do this on iTunes. You can get a season pass to a television show and be able to watch it as soon as it airs and download it. I don't know what it breaks down to. I think it's like $30 a season or something like that, which isn't so bad, but I think that's standard definition. Anyway, they're going to have to just figure out some pay plan where, you know, for $1, $2 an episode or something like that, you can own a Game of Thrones episode forever. You can always download it. You can always put it on any device you own. You can always stream it to your TV. And it's just kind of nauseating. Because we have to sit here and tap our feet while the industry matures and like comes into reasonably operating in this new environment.
Right. I saw a friend of mine's Facebook status today. I don't know if he stole it or if it's something he came up with himself. But under SOPA, the law, you could get 5 years for downloading a Michael Jackson song, which is 1 year more than the doctor got who killed Michael Jackson.
Well, thank God he didn't steal any of his music.
Right? How ridiculous is that? You can kill me and get 4 years, but if you ever download my comedy CD, There Lies the Joke, then you can get 5 years in prison.
No words.
But by the way, I would, if you want to attempt to OD me on painkillers, I would be more than happy to give you a release.
Okay.
In writing that says, hey, I gave Jonathan 400 Percocet, but, you know.
Only if I can have your Vizio.
You will not have. I'll put you in my will.
Sweet.
Yeah.
While we're talking about this, Netflix, they're kind of leading the way for, you know, making it reasonable to get content when you want for cheap. I mean, you're going to be able to watch when you want, what you want, when you want, on what device you want. Within 7 years, more or less. But Netflix, Walking Dead is now on there. You should check it out. You got all season one on there. Louis C.K.'s new stand-up thing that he just gave away. He let people download it, and just with the caveat, hey, if you like it, give me $15 on his website. He's made $1 million doing it. Granted, he's a unique, you know, content creator because sure. it's him. Yeah. But at the same time, he took that chance. He could have said, like, no, I'm going to do a Comedy Central thing, and it's going to be distributed on that. I'm going to get that sweet guaranteed money.
Yeah.
He's like, no, fuck it. You know, Netflix is good. Lots of people watch it. Hey, they might actually come to one of my shows. Hey, they might buy a past CD of yeah. mine. Hey, there's potential here. And he's been rewarded very well for yeah. that. And it's fucking hysterical. Mm-hmm. I was coughing up two nuts.
I'll definitely check it out.
Hilarious. Is what it's called.
What about
on Netflix?
Did you hear that Anonymous brought down the Justice Department website after the FBI closed down Mega Upload, the torrent site?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. brought down the DOJ?
Yes. Anonymous brought down the DOJ's before. Website right after the FBI shut down the torrent site Mega Upload.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you can check that out and have a breakdown for us next time. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. What are you nerding on this week?
I'm wrapping up reading Game of Thrones, Book 1, Song okay. of Fire and Ice. Noting the differences in there. A lot of character description differences.
Sure.
Like, you know, the knight that's, like, ostracized with the Khaleesi because he had to resort to slave trading.
Yes.
He's in fact like bald in the book. Okay. Not a big thing, but it kind of changes in your head a little bit. But I mean, the atmosphere that the actors bring to the characters
right.
are right on with what they are in the book. So sure. it still works very well.
Okay.
There's a lot more wolves like fucking around and doing stuff in the book, which I can only imagine was technically difficult when HBO was looking at like how to do this, like, oh, wolf jumps and mauls rider and horse, because right. you know the Starks have those wolves, the sure. dire wolves, and so you kind of hope they get a little bit more budget to convincingly do that.
So on a scale of 1 to 5, where would you rate the show?
Oh, 4.5.
Okay,
yeah.
Scale of 1 to 5, where would you rate the book? In literary terms,
oh,
Standing Alone is a literary work.
Right, well,
if you had never seen the show, how would you rate the book?
Probably a 4.
Okay.
You know, 5, like when I'm rating movies, like 1 to 4, it was really awesome. 5, it's changed my perception of my existence.
Sure, sure,
you
sure.
know, but some people...
Give me 2 of those.
Okay,
I'm holding up 2 fingers so you know how many I'm requiring.
Okay. I was going to say Faces of Death. That's a long time ago. Schindler's List.
Okay.
You're giving me the middle finger. That's awesome. And, oh, God, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm nerding on... I know it sounds crazy, but there's a new version of Connect 4. It is a 3D version, and you flip the pieces instead of it being a vertical board,
mm-hmm.
like the old Connect 4, it's horizontal, and it's elevated about 8 inches, horizontal, square, elevated.
Wow.
And instead of, like, putting things in from the side, it's little bowls like this. Like 1 inch deep little bowls on the board. It's like okay. a checkerboard where the squares are like little bowls. And then you have this like little launcher thing and you launch little pieces, little circles.
So you're kind of just randomly assigning the discs.
Yes. You launch little rings and you try and get 4 of them in a row. And it is addictive and competitive.
You've
as
played
shit.
It.
I have.
Oh.
So I'm recommending that. I believe it's like Connect 4 Launcher or Launching or some shit like that.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
But it is the new version, the latest version and update to the Connect Four franchise. I don't know if there's if this is the second other than the classic or what, but
launchers. You're right.
Okay.
The second movie is The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Okay.
So you can decrease your middle finger.
I've been flipping Ryan off for about the past 4 minutes for those. We need to get a webcam.
Yeah, we do.
And that way, in addition
but then they would see the sewers that we broadcast from. We'd have to be like, all right, let's make this one wall.
We can clamor
really
Ninja
nice.
Turtles.
Put up my old Star Wars bedspread.
Well, good deal. Well, that'll do it for episode 45. Thanks for joining us, Proletariat. Glad you're still hanging out. And we look forward to a very active 2012 at the Nerd Aristocracy. So
word up. Yeah, hit us up in the comments with this show with your resolutions or things you think you should get to this year. Thanks for joining us. Hope the new year is finding you well and embracing you in her bosom.
There you go. And our ending song tonight is from a recent Geico commercial where the Geico lizard is walking through a honky-tonk in Texas. There's a song playing in the background. It's catchy as hell. I tracked it down. It is called...
That's a weird name.
Right? Yeah. I forgot the name of it. The name of the band is Wrinkle Neck Mules.
Like, wow.
A group of mules with wrinkled necks.
Yeah, I'm getting
but,
that.
But it is the Wrinkle Neck Mules, and the name of the song is, drumroll as my screen scrolls through my 8,742 bookmarks.
Yeah.
It really is ridiculous.
You need an intervention.
That needs to be one of
it's my, almost to the point where I want to help you out by erasing all of your bookmarks.
Yeah, don't do that. I would cry. The song is called Central Daylight Time. The band is Wrinkle Neck Mules. We'll catch you next time. Thank you for listening. Later.
Well, I ripped you off the club in Oklahoma City. Fireman said the show can't go on. So we spent another night somewhere in New Mexico drinking until all our money was gone. We had a day to kill, so we climbed up a mountain, walked straight down the other side. Up a hitchhiker on the way back to Taos and said, thank you boys for the ride. If I could separate what's real from what I've been dreaming, I could live to fight another day. If I'd listen to my mom who said, don't be believing everything them riders say. There's no light at the door and only 30 people bother to advance pay. If I could separate what's real from what I've been dreaming, I could live to fight another. If I could separate what's real from what I've been dreaming, I could live to fight another day. If I'd listened to my mom, she said, don't be believing everything them riders say. There's no light at the door and only 20 people bother to advance pay. If I could separate what's real from what I've been dreaming, I could live to fight another day. We gotta sell 10 t-shirts and 20 CDs to get from Stephenville to Houston town. Well, there's people there who care a little bit.